Good morning. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. I have the opportunity today to share with you again the wonderful Word of God about the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's my joy and privilege to bring this to you. I've been looking at the Scriptures and concerning myself with the things of the future, and not looking into the past, hoping that things will go back to what they were, but looking into the future and saying, I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, I've finished my course. And the interesting thing about this is that he was finished. And we ought to start, all of us, numbering our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, says Psalm 90 and verse 12. And we should look at those things that are very necessary in our lives and add to our faith and grow in the grace, says the Apostle Peter, and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was wondering about my life and the lives of many people that I know with great concern, just looking in the Scriptures. And I realized that there was something in the Scriptures that was powerful and mighty. And I sort of came to the place where I understood some things that I'd never really understood before. And as I turned the pages of the Word of God, I came to the book of Revelation, and I came to the wonderful opening of chapter 21. Then I saw a new sky, or heaven, and a new earth, for the former sky and the former earth had passed away, vanished. There no longer existed any sea. You know, that's bothered me for years. Why is it, one may ask, the sea had gone? And I've often thought that I would maybe open an opportunity for people to travel across the Atlantic or across the Pacific Ocean on horseback, or we could even take four-wheel drive and make a road and go across where before we had to swim and couldn't swim that far. So we took great massive machinery called boats and ships, and we sailed across the seas. Those old sailors of the galleons of years ago, they were tremendous men, and they found the seven seas, and they looked to the seven seas, and they wandered around. And what would that do with the wildlife? There's wildlife in all the little islands, and would they scatter and eventually fill up the gaps? How would this be? Well, the first question needs to be answered. Why would the sea be simply and completely dried up? No more water as a problem. Now, if you remember, and you go back to the book of Genesis, God saw the sinfulness of man. Man was always practicing things that God never intended him to practice. He was abusing his own body. He was being married and giving in marriage. And giving in marriage means not actually getting married, but just living together. And what a dreadful thing that becomes, because all the emotions of marriage go into the relationship of a couple. And when the couple suddenly decide, well, we don't like each other anymore, they just part. The wretched business of breaking one's heart goes over and spills over and conducts the rest of our lives. Bitterness comes in, and all sorts of ugly attitudes and actions take place. Why? Because we've ignored God's rule. We've ignored the wonderful gift of marriage, and we have ignored the truth. So here we have a problem. And God flooded the earth. He used water. Now, I don't care to get into the discussion of whether he actually did or whether he actually didn't, whether he flooded all the world, as the Bible says, or just that part of the world. I see no point of discussion. Just take the word of God and whatever it says, let's take it at that. But the thing to remember and the thing to hold together this whole thinking is that we despised God and he used water to flood the world. Now, if you look at this verse, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former sky and the former earth had passed away. Vanished is the word. There no longer existed any sea. Wow. And you start thinking about this, something massive has taken place. And God is creating his new earth. I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, all arrayed like a bride, beautiful and adorned for her husband. And I heard a mighty voice of heaven from the throne, and I perceived its distinct words saying, "See, the abode of God is with men, and I will live in camp among them, and they shall be his people, and God shall personally be with them and be their God." What a tremendous work this is. You go to Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 27. God says exactly the same thing. But then he has this great proclamation. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be anguish or sorrow and mourning, nor grief, nor pain any more. For the old conditions and the former order of things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, "See, I make all things new." Also he said, "Record this. These sayings are faithful, accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy, and true." The word is genuine. He further said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I myself will give water without price from the fountain springs of the water of life. He who is victorious shall inherit all these things, and I will be God to him, and he shall be my son. But as for the cowards, the ignoble, and the contemptible, and the cravenly lacking in courage, and the cowardly submissive, and as for the unbelieving and faithless, and as for the depraved, the defiled with abominations, and as for murderers, and the lewd and adulterous, and the practices of magic arts, and the idolaters, those who give supreme devotion to anyone or anything other than God, and all liars, those shall knowingly convey untruth by word or deed. All of these shall have their part in the lake that blazes with fire and brimstone." This is the second death. He goes on to speak of the heaven. And I'm using today the Amplified New Testament because I wanted to get all these expressions in so that you could see that God was using his width of understanding and width of knowledge because he was doing this. There was magnificent things that were going to take place. And those of us who love the Lord Jesus and put him first, those of us that trust in the blood of Calvary, those of us that have come in the foolishness of believing God no matter what. There are colossal arguments, there are tremendous expressions that we make, and we do so in total ignorance. It's such a shame that man is so foolish, but we are foolish, and we act in foolish ways. But God is saying, this is the new heaven and the new earth that I have put together just for men and women who will repent and come to me. Now you say, you realize that I'm one of those adulterers? God knows that. I'm one of those liars? God knew that very well. He hates liars. And we need to stop and have a good old think about this. Because today, it's right to lie. And our politicians are doing it all the time. And we are saying rah, rah, rah to men who are mere men and don't know how to tell the truth. And even when they tell what they call the truth, it's a lie. And that's a shocking state for us to be in. But I saw a new earth and a new heaven. What a wonderful thing. I look forward to the day. I do. I look forward to the day when I shall see this new earth and this new heaven, and all the old things are vanished, is the word, passed away in the Authorized Version, vanished, just gone. Heaven as you and I know it, which is very, very beautiful. The skies, in other words, the beautiful skies that we see, and the earth, which is magnificent and powerful and very constraining. Oh, once years back, someone said to me, why do you climb a mountain? And don't say, because it's there. But I looked at the fellow and I said, well, I can tell you nothing more. Why would I climb this mountain? Why would I climb that mountain? It's because it's there and it needs to be climbed and I need to climb it. I was fascinated with getting up into the mountains and clawing my way up through the rocks. Most of the work that I did was solo. The Lord just is very close to a man in the mountains. What a wonderful place to be. I miss it terribly because I can't do it these days, but I miss the mountains. Well, dear friends, look at this for a moment with me. And in the next few moments, let's discover some facts. Why did the sea pass away? Well, if you think about things, you realize that people in their industry and in their keenness to make money and to have big factories and large productions, you will discover that they pump their waste into the rivers. From the rivers, it flowed into the oceans. And the waste of man, the refuse of man, was flushed into the world. Now, I used to love to swim a mile out to sea, or sometimes more, and swim back. I had a body that would do that. I wish it would do that now. In those days, I had no fears, I had no problems of diving in the sea and swimming. Now I would be terrified to be thrown into the sea one way or another because I could never swim in it. But it's so full of junk. If you think of the turmoil that the sea has been created for, it has been a sort of filter, a sort of cleansing. The water of the rain comes down. We call that pure water, but it comes from the cloud that is the result of the filtering of the sea. Why is salt in the sea? Well, God uses the sea to filter out the waste that we pump into it one way or another. It's a frightening thing that we have destroyed so much of the beauty of the world. But we have abused it, we have misused it. I'm not one of these chaps that runs around and says you mustn't go to the sea and swim. But I would think twice today of jumping in any sea and swimming. I was down near Carmel, and the sea was running fairly high. There was a froth all along the edge of the ocean from Carmel down a ways. I thought, well, how do you get through that to swim out to sea? No way I'd get in that stuff. And it was just the refuse of man that had been pumped into the sea. What did the sea do? Well, the sea took all of that and it cleansed it. And then with the evaporation of the sea, cycle started. The evaporation caused the purified water to go into the cloud, and the cloud was blown over land, and man collected the water and used it from his reservoirs. And so it goes on. It's a cycle. How enormously simple, how enormously wonderful God knew the world. I think about eating lobsters and crabs and things that come from the Pacific Ocean. And there's been a great cry of strange-looking creatures. They were lobsters, they were crabs, but they were strange, they were different. I don't know this because I'm not a scientist, but apparently these things were filled with all sorts of contamination from the nuclear place in the Japanese Sea that was flooded when this tsunami went by 3 or 4 years back and wrecked the atomic energy place that they had there. People have been dying at a pretty high rate, but the awful thing is that the radiation is in the water, and the water has come through the sea. And the water that goes up in the evaporation to make the rain somehow causes all sorts of distortions. We need to be careful what we drink. We need to practice what we preach, and we need to be careful. I used to drink when I was a young man freely of the streams in England. When I was in the mountains of Wales or wherever I climbed, I just drank from the stream. I didn't carry bottles of water with me as people do today. I was none the worse. I never caught any disease from it, and I never had a tummy upset. So what's the difference? I think the difference is discovered in the fact that we now have a pollution that is so high and so enormous from radiation and from other things that we've tossed into the sea, but the sea has dealt with it. Now, I was never allowed as a child to touch a crab to eat or a lobster to eat, because who wants to eat those things? They live by sewer outlets. And that's not a nice thought. And so you're actually eating the sewage that comes out of the outlets from a town and is poured, in my thinking, in the English Channel. What a difference that makes. I don't particularly want to eat those animals. But the Maine lobster, he's a cleaned-up fellow, is delicious. And so we find that people would rather eat Maine than Pacific lobsters at the moment. Of course, that will eventually wear off and clear up, and God has this wonderful system of cleaning up his own world. So we have something to think about here. And there's going to be no more sea. There no longer existed any sea. The sea will vanish. All the bodies that have been distributed through wars and all the bits and pieces and evidence of wars and fighting that have gone to the bottom of the sea, that will all vanish. And it'll be exposed, I suppose. But the beautiful thing is, this earth as we know it is going to go away. And the good news is that Jesus, in his suffering, took away the pollution of the world. We don't need an earth day. We need a return to the Word of God to understand how God is going to deal with this world, and he's going to deal with it with fire. And the element that man uses to put out fire is water, and there will be no water. We will not have any water. And so this world will gradually evaporate. Peter teaches that it evaporates. The whole world will evaporate. Now, I don't know how this is going to take place, and I admit that very freely and quickly. But I do know that God's word is never broken. And God says that in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars, there will be pestilences, and men shall turn to lawlessness, and there will be an increase of knowledge that will boggle the mind. I was talking to a fellow who in his school days was brilliant. He graduated from a good university with high honors. He was in industry for about 10 years. I said to him, "How did you learn all these things?" He said, "What I learned can be written and thrown away by what I know now." And I said, "What are you saying?" He said, "Because the word of God tells me that my knowledge, though it's increased, will be nothing." We spend so much time and we mislead people, and we spend so much money and we mislead the populace. And we spend and we spend and we spend and we borrow. It sounds reasonable, I suppose, to borrow and do all these things. Instead, all we do is put people into some sort of difficulty and then we leave them. And the terrifying thing is that the heaven and earth that we know is going to pass away, and there will be no more death later, because God's going to create something new. And the beautiful thing about this is, if you look at these words, God is going to speak with us. He will make his abode with men, and he will live or encamp in a tent among them, and they shall be his people, and God shall personally be with them and be their God. And there will be no more death. Jesus conquered death. When you're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that he is the resurrection. He is the life. He is the power to see beyond today. He is the one who loved us and gave himself for us. He is the dear Savior who with love and compassion poured himself out that he might gather us up into the arms of God on this day. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. Old things will have passed away. Vanished is the word. Vanished. Now, in that vanishment, there is also banishment. We should be very careful to understand. Liars are banished. People who mislead. People who deliberately tell others the untruth. It was a sadness to me to know that a man lied to stop another man from becoming a president. That was horrible. But it was indicative of the attitude of the man, for money looms up and money buys everything and does everything. I look forward to the new heaven and the new earth, don't you? No more tears, but remember when you do cry, tears wash our hearts that we may see God more perfectly. Oh, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. And the good news simply is, God expressed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, to draw us into this new hope. Let's just pray. Lord, will you bless these simple words and impress them upon our hearts and cause us to respond to you who loved us so much. Lord, let that love enter our hearts in a massive manner and cause us just to trust you. We ask this in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.